What's going on, everybody? And welcome to Chair Shot Sports. I'm your man, John Anthony, back in the hot seat. Welcome back. It's a pleasure to see all you guys again. We're back this week talking about, obviously, the SummerSlam fallout. Jey Uso leaving WWE. Everything CM Punk with AEW and Collision. Also, a little bit of Bray news as well. All that and more. So let's hit the ring. Let's ring the bell. Let's get to work. What's going on, guys? It's been a minute. How's everybody doing? I'm John Anthony, Chair Shot Sports. Welcome back. Oh, man, so much to talk about these past 2 weeks. SummerSlam was off the chain. An amazing pay-per-view. Definitely a high grade that I give it. So let's just dive into that. Let's get that out of the way. Go over our predictions. Go over the results. I guess we'll start right at the top. Start off kind of where we started and just work our way down. The Shayna Ronda match, phenomenal match. I think they need to do more matches like this, except not inside the actual ring. I think bringing back the fight pit is definitely something they need to do. That was in NXT. The average wrestling WWE fan really doesn't watch UFC. And I could be wrong. I don't want to say average. I'm probably a little off on that. I would say more than half probably watch the mixed martial arts and watch the sports entertainment aspect of it as well. But a lot of folks, especially younger viewers who don't watch MMA or just watch wrestling, kind of don't know what's going on. So I was just kind of having the fight pit. And just, I mean, it's kind of a cool dichotomy too. You have get up on the top, you can do some moves off the top, kind of make it still wrestling, but still make it very fight-esque, you know, in the pit. Shayna coming out on top, obviously the move, you got to go with it. Ronda, you know, we all knew she was taking her hiatus. Good match altogether, back and forth, pretty good, can't complain. Again, just some spots where if you're not an MMA guy, you know, I watch UFC pretty much every week, just as much as I watch wrestling and WWE, AEW, all that stuff. And if you're not an MMA fan, you're not going to get why the ref's doing some things, saying some stuff. But other than that, I digress. Shayna winning, obviously the great move, the best move, the move he needed with Ronda leaving. And I think that's going to catapult her up, kind of put her in a position, as we've seen already in the past couple weeks. We've already seen kind of her now coming, like kind of putting the women's division on notice. So, definitely a good match. Next up with the SummerSlam Slim Jim Battle Royal. One other than by L.A. Knight. Yeah. That was a great match. I mean, just good, some good spots. Just very well done. The best it could be. Obviously, like I said, in our last episode when we talked, you knew this was something that was made. I'm sure not 100% for LA Knight in the beginning, but by the end, you knew LA Knight was gonna win this walking away, where he needed this. And as you can see on the Raw and SmackDown, you know, that followed that, you can see this all was part of the path to set up kind of the Miz and LA Knight to go on this crash course and to kind of get LA Knight into that spotlight and start elevating him to where he needs to be. Ricochet, Logan Paul, as always, spot for spot, amazing. These guys can go. I've said it before. I said it in our last episode. Logan Paul can go. Logan Paul can go. The guy can go better than some guys that are in that locker room. I guarantee you. The guy's great. He studies the craft. He just loves the guy, loves being airborne. He just wants to be Superman. He's been quoted even these past couple weeks that his next vision, his next journey and endeavor, if you will, is he wants to do a Hell in a Cell, and he wants to fly off the Hell in a Cell. He doesn't know how he's going to do it, doesn't care why, how. They want to figure it out, and he just wants to soar and fly off that structure. So he has an adrenaline rush for that, and you got to respect that. Great match. Paul goes over. We picked Ricochet. Looking back in hindsight, after taking the loss, the Money in the Bank, and probably not coming back till Saudi, Paul was probably the option to go with. But I really thought Ricochet was going to get some momentum going away. But apparently that wasn't the case. So again, great match, awesome, awesome spots, really good overall. The Asuka, Bianca, and Charlotte match, great back and forth, a lot of false finishes, a lot of where you thought it was going to go, it didn't go. Then it went where it went. Bianca winning, which I could have told you, Bianca was the last one. And I said that. I thought it was going to be either Charlotte, Asuka retaining, going on this run, or, you know, Charlotte, Charlotte coming back and just taking the title like she always does. Bianca was my long shot, you know, when she had the roll up. And then as soon as, like, obviously once she started, like, limping around and, you know, pulling the whole lead joint, the knee joint, I should say, once that started happening and she won the match, I looked right over, you know, the people I was watching with. I'm like, here's the cash and give it literally a minute. And here comes Io Sky. And great for Io Sky, a great cash in. Awesome cash in. I mean, well played. It's been a year to the day since she's been back with SummerSlam. I've been back with the company at SummerSlam a year ago. I mean, it's, you know, it's just desserts. So she's definitely done what she had to do. She's earned it. And it was a great, great win. So props up to Io Sky, your new Undisputed Women's Champion. Lesnar, Rhodes, 3 was everything we wanted to be and more. At least I thought it was. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't just a whole bunch of finishers and a bunch of false finishes. It was really just Brock telling the story of, like, you know, you can't beat me. You need just stay down. Just stop it. This is over. I'm going to win. And Cody just being the resilient character that he is, just never say die, never quit attitude. We'll always give you 125%. You're going to have to kill the guy to not get back up. So that was an awesome match. Great storytelling. The impromptu hug at the end with the arm raise. It's the passing of the proverbial torch over to Cody. Mad props up to Lesnar for that. You know, there's things that I've heard, and we'll cover this in the coming weeks. They've selected WrestleMania 41 to be in Minnesota because of Brock Lesnar retirement is being floated around. And they want him to go out in his own hometown, you know, out over in Minnesota. And, I mean, that makes sense. The guy's been a gamer. Never again will we see someone like a hybrid athlete like Brock Lesnar, at least in our generation. This guy is a freak of nature. He's proved it in UFC. He's proven WWE that he can go and he can go for a long, long time. Granted, probably less than half of his career was part-time, so he was able to rest his body and stay in good shape and stay in good health and avoid injuries. But just a heck of a match. Way to end the story and close the book on that. Going back to when Kurt rose his hand, you know, after Mania and gave him the rub. I kind of like that he gave it over to Cody, and now it's his show to go. So, great match. Gunther, Drew McIntyre. I mean, this is kind of a no-brainer. I mean, Gunther is on the track. The light's at the end of the tunnel to become the all-time Intercontinental Champion. So, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, you see what they're doing with that. I mean, you can see what they're doing, obviously, what he's doing with Chad Gable right now as well, with their match coming up on Raw. Again, it's one of those things where unless there's a wicked swerve coming where you would bring someone that close to the edge and just take it away from them, unless it's Gunther's call not to break Honky Tonk's record. I can't see how anyone wouldn't want to do that. But I think I can tell you right now, I can tell you that Gunther, that Gable match is going to be fire. Amazing, amazing match. 5-star all the way. If that doesn't end Raw, I'll be shocked. That match should get a just due of at least 30 minutes, pay-per-view style. Give them the length. Lynn, just let them go out there and let them get out there and let them go. Gable can go, Gunther can go, and I think it's going to be a hell of a match. Gunther's still coming out on top, though. Second to last, obviously, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins. Again, great storytelling. Great storytelling. You had to close the book on that. Seth can't keep coming. I mean, Finn can't keep coming for Seth every single week, every single pay-per-view. So Seth was able to exercise his demons and kind of put Finn in his rearview mirror and move on to other things in the name of Shinsuke Nakamura. But yeah, awesome storytelling. Way to just kind of dangle the whole. I feel like they're doing it a little sooner because I don't think Judgment Day has the longevity that the Bloodline has, per se. But you can see how they're already doing the, they're already teasing the cracks in the armor and, who's gonna turn on who and who's gonna betray who to get what they want and things like that. And again, great storytelling on that side of that is with the Judgment Day and their internal issues that they're having. And Seth just doing what Seth does and just being a gamer and just goes out there and goes defending that belt all the time. You gotta love it. Yeah, amazing match. And of course your main event, Jey Uso and Roman Reigns. This match was good. This match was really good. Now where I thought they were gonna go with it. I think we talked about Jimmy coming out. I think we talked about The Rock as well. But Jimmy coming back and just doing it the way he did. And then the way he explained it on SmackDown, we're gonna talk about that in a little bit. But just the whole match in general was awesome. Great A the whole way. Again, some people watching it will say it's, it was predictable and just it's drawn out, but that's the point. If you've watched wrestling this long, if you've watched SmackDown, you've watched the Bloodline elevate, evolve, and get into what it is now, then that story, these matches aren't just wrestling matches. They're storytelling matches. Like I just said previous with the Judgment Day. The Judgment Days, their story is now being told through matches as well. Are we gonna break up? Are we okay? Are there kinks in the armor? Is one person looking out for themselves and not the rest of the rest of the team? That kind of thing. The storytelling with Cody and Brock. I like the new way that matches are put on when it's needed. Some matches just need to be drag out, bang out matches, just spot after spot, false finish, let's get there, one, two, three, let's go. But the ones that need it, the Cody, the Brocks, the Judgment Days, the Bloodlines, these stories need to have a story-esque feel to them. And that's what I feel like the main event did. Like you felt it when Jimmy kicked Jay, you felt it. There was a collective, oh, out of everybody. Everyone just, I mean, some people knew it was coming, some people didn't. They thought it was there, and you know what I mean? And every time that the Bloodline is on, it's money. It's ads, it's eyes, and it's ratings. That's all it is. And it's gonna go till it can go. Apparently, from what it looks like to me, WWE is just gonna ride this until the wheels come off. I mean, according to Paul, we're in the third inning apparently, so we have a lot more to go. We'll come, like I said, we'll talk about that a little bit more when we talk about Jey Uso and what happened on the SmackDown that preceded that. So, but yeah, overall, great pay-per-view. Chairshot Sports came out 6-2 out of prediction, so not bad. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's getting to a point, I mean, where Paul's doing an amazing job of really having the fans connect and feel what these wrestlers are feeling, and you feel for them. You feel bad for these faces, and you really hate these heels. And that's really a throwback to, I mean, in the Attitude Era in the 90s, even the Ruthless Aggression Era too. I mean, it was you really you if you hated somebody, you hated them, and they were just getting nuclear heat. And if you were over, you were over. If there was 400 signs in the arena, 390 of them were yours. And I really appreciate the fact that Paul's getting back to that and really trying to go in that direction. But again, SummerSlam, out of 5 stars, I'm gonna give it 4. Great PLE, great major pay-per-view, really set up a lot of, and that's the other thing too, if you look, it set up a lot of matches for Payback on a couple weeks, which is awesome. I mean, that's one thing I don't think that Vince was doing when he was in charge. He was kind of just, yeah, you get the payoff, you get the matches, but then what now? Now what are we going to do for 4 or 5 weeks leading to another PLE? And now we're just kind of throwing rivalries together. We're kind of just throwing guys at each other, running out, attacking one another with no rhyme or reason. And that's why, as I said, the storytelling aspect of it, you're really going to see now where you see the matches take place 4 or 5 down the road, and you're like, oh, wait, that makes sense. Oh, yeah, I remember when he attacked that guy. That makes, yeah. So those kind of moments. But all in all, great PLE, but get that out of the way. We just want to do our results, give it our rating. We take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to get into what everybody's talking about, Jey Uso and leaving WWE. Welcome back, guys. John Anthony, Chair Shot Sports. All right. Well, if you missed our first segment, we were talking about SummerSlam and all the results and things like that. But enough about that. The thought on everybody's mind, the words coming off of everybody's lips, if you're a wrestling fan right now, of WWE, YJY. This past Friday on SmackDown, Jey Uso pretty much proclaimed that he's out of the Bloodline, he's out of the Usos, and he's out of WWE. Wild. Wild stuff. Amazing segment. Before we talk about all that, let's rewind it back. So if you didn't see SummerSlam, the main event, Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso for the undisputed WWE Championship. Match goes back and forth. It's a tribal combat rules, which, if you want to get really technical, is supposed to be no interference from anybody. We had interference from Solo, and we had interference from Jimmy, but that's neither here nor there. We are. So Jay's on the outside. Roman's laid out. Jay's getting back up. Here comes a masked man out of the ring. I'm sorry, going for the pin. Jay going for the pin with Roman laid out. Masked man pulls him out of the ring, throws him out of the mat, pulls the mask down. Who is it? Jimmy Uso. You think he's here to save the day? Here we go. Gonna help his brother get the title? Nope. Jimmy serves him up with a nice fat super kick to the mouth. Gets back in the ring. Roman does his thing. Boom, through the table. 1, 2, 3. Let's go. Roman retains. Still your undisputed WWE heavyweight champion. So, of course, leaves everyone asking, why, Jimmy, why? We go up to the SmackDown after. Roman comes out asking for Jimmy. Paul says he's not in a good mood, can't find him. Here comes Jimmy through the crowd, gets in the ring. Roman pretty much lays it out for him, like, hey, I owe you one. What do you want? Name it. It's yours. You want to be my right-hand man? What's going on? Do you want anything? What do you want? Possessions? Power? What do you want? Jay literally tells him it was nothing to do with him. And before we can go anywhere farther than that, boom, Jay's music hits, down to the ring. Jay pretty much tells him, tell me right now before I throw it all away, why'd you do it? And I didn't see really where this was going to go. I had an idea, obviously. I thought where they might go with it and where they might, have it go. But Jimmy telling that he did it for him is wild. It's not where I thought it was going to go. And just referencing the fact of, look at what happened. Look what happened to Roman. You know, look at how power-hungry he became and how egotistical he was. And thank you for Fox to letting the a-hole bomb drop and not bleeping it out. Give it up to Fox. Give it to WWE for paying that fine to the FCC. Love it. But just added that much more intensity to that promo. It was needed. You needed that. And then just that going down, for their troubles, Jay gets a super kick. Jimmy gets out, Jimmy's halfway up the ramp. Jay slides out, call, hey, Jimmy, no, come back. Let me talk to you for a minute. And Jimmy's all excited, like, yeah, let's do this, man. Let's get back together. Boom. Right in the chin. Right from Jay. Super kick, baby. Out. Code X. Done. Dead to rights. So right now, Roman's gotten his. Jimmy's gotten his. Jay's standing there, looks around. Crowd's going nuts. Looks at everybody. I'm out the Usos. I'm out the Bloodline. I'm out WWE. Deuces. Ooses. Gets out the crowd a la CM Punk. Back at Money in the Bank. And that's it. And here we are. We're here having this conversation of everybody saying, why, Jay, why? Not a peep from them. Nothing on Instagram. Nothing coming through. I do appreciate the fact of WWE taking this so far as to move him to the alumni section of WWE.com. Love it. Not even 24 hours after. Not even letting it breathe. Or like, hey, let's work an angle. Let's see what's going on. Nope. Just moving right to alumni. He quit. He walked out. See you later. Crazy. So All right, so we have all that. So where do we go? Where are we? Well, depending on what you read, I'm sure I'm not the only podcast you've listened to if you're a wrestling fan. There's a lot of different ways. From my sources, what I've reported on, Jay has been dealing with all storyline aside, all bloodline stuff aside, all kayfabe. Jay's been dealing with a wrist injury for the past 6 months, and obviously with the bloodline issue going on, and the storylines going on, and needing to be present on a week-to-week basis, and needing to partake in wrestling, he had to keep pushing it off. So when this happened, and we're going to have this turn happen, it was a perfect way for him to quote unquote exit and get this work done. That's not been confirmed 100%, but it was something I've heard from multiple sources close to the situation within the company that is an injury related, and it is his wrist. So once that's 100% confirmed, obviously we'll be the first ones to let you know about that. So storyline wise, where do we go? Some have said that maybe has WWE jumped the shark? Have they put themselves too far ahead of themselves? I don't think they have. I really don't. From day one-ish, this story has so many layers. For those of you that will know Shrek, it's like an onion. And you just peel and you peel and you think, nah, it's done. This can't be it. No, peel again and peel again. And if there's one thing that WWE, Triple H, heck, even Vince when he was in creative, what he was doing with it too, and even Roman himself, and Paul, the brains behind a lot of this is Paul Heyman. What they've been able to do is just when you think you're like, ah, you know what? I've seen this before. This is that Evolution, NWO, DX kind of thing going on. Nope. Boom. Swerve out of left field. Didn't even see it coming. Now there's a new level, a new facet, a new layer of the story, of the bloodline. And that's just amazing what they've been able to do. From someone, again, I've been for the Attitude Era. I caught a little bit of the 80s, the 80s wrestling style before it became Attitude. And, obviously Ruthless Aggression and even a little bit of the PG era. You're used to titles not sitting on someone for a long period of time. A year, if you're lucky. If you're lucky, you'll get a year. But 8-9 month run, let's make a reason to get them off of them. Make some kind of gimmick match. Make it a no DQ. Make it a triple threat. Make it where the champ doesn't look weak, but we're going to move the title off. You put him in an elimination chamber, what have you. If you're mad that Roman is champion for this long, they gave you the World Heavyweight Championship. That title, in some meeting somewhere in Connecticut, Paul looked at Bovek, looked at everybody in the boardroom and said, listen, we need another championship. We need another champion. We can't keep having PLEs. And probably even Nick Khan was probably, we can't keep having PLEs with no championships being defended. Yeah, we have the mid-cards, which they've done an amazing job building back up, the United States title, your Intercontinental title. Austin had a great run. Look at Gunther. It's almost 427 days. So amazing runs with the mid-cards, making those the workhorse titles, as they should. And then using them as stepping stones to elevate people up to the world title picture. So, like I said, the world heavyweight championship that was given to you folks that are that mad that Roman still has belts on it. He's no longer Roman three belts. They've retired the world heavyweight and the universal title. Those are retired, all morphed into the one that Triple H gave him. So I say all that to say that this story is so complex and you have to appreciate it as a wrestling fan or just as a person. If you like movies, if you like sitcoms, you like dramas, whatever you like, you have to appreciate this story. Every week you tune in, who's going to say what and what's going to happen after this happened and who's leaving, who's coming, who's going. And this story has just taken on such a life of itself. Jumping the shark? No. Not whatsoever. Jimmy versus Jay, right. I get it. A lot of people are throwing out Mania. It's not going to be Mania. I mean, what are we? What is it? I mean, it's September, October, November, December, January. What was that, 7-8 months? There's no way they're going to go that long for Jimmy to be out of WWE. That just makes no sense whatsoever. So best thing really is going on for the stories with Jimmy saying that he did it for Jay. So if you were to talk, if listen to what Jimmy said about Roman in regards to what's become of him, him being narcissistic and being power hungry, wanting all the attention, Jimmy really actually is showing those qualities. I mean, if by causing Jay to lose, he's selfishly, wanted to keep Jay close to him because he didn't want the Usos to just evolve or not be a tag team anymore. So it's funny that Jimmy's kind of calling the kettle black in this instance, where he's just as being selfish and trying to exert his power to keep the Usos together because if Jay, you know, moves out of that next echelon of becoming the Universal Champion and becomes a tribal chief, Roman's told him there's only room for you. And you can choose your wise man, but there's only you. There's no room for tag. There's no tag teams. There's only tribal chief, not chiefs. Roman's told him that. So Jimmy has to be over here wondering what's next for me. What am I going to do? I can't just fade off into obscurity. So what do you do? Comes through and takes out Jay, and Roman retains, and the Usos remain. Well, for 6 days until Jay sent him back in with a super kick and walks out the crowd and walks out of WWE. But where do we? So I guess if we're looking forward, so what happens? They're saying that the reports are the bloodline will be noticeably absent for the next couple weeks, almost as if to regroup, get things together, recharge, see what's going on. If I had to guess, you'll probably get a recorded message from Roman in the bunker with the wise man. I think you won't see Jay. Jay will be so heartbroken. He won't want to be around. Jay's obviously gone. Solo rides with Roman. So, you know, whatever vignette or whatever, you know, they record, it's going to be Uso and the wise men with Roman. And that would be actually kind of puzzling, or even a more added piece of the puzzle, if Solo wasn't with Roman. If it was just Roman and the wise men cutting a promo, just talking about, you know, we'll be back. We got to regroup, you know. But neither here nor there, whether you watch Raw, whether you watch SmackDown, you're watching NXT, right now the bloodline is the best thing going for everything. Like I said, ratings, money, ads, SmackDown, the story generates eyes and it gets people watching. So where do we go? What do we do moving forward? Right. Jay versus Jimmy. If you're booking it, right. If you're fantasy booking, if you're thinking about this, what are we going to do? Let's say the surgery, we're totally barking up the wrong tree. It's not nothing to do with surgery. It's literally just the work where he needs a couple weeks off. Everyone's kind of just taking a breather, you know, after coming out of SummerSlam. Where do we go? So let's say we run Jimmy and Jay. We put them at Payback, right? Perfect pay-per-view for it, right? We put them at Payback. Maybe have someone interfere, Solo, Roman, someone's music hits, whatever happens, ends in a DQ. Then maybe get a rematch somewhere, you know, somewhere after that, maybe on SmackDown or something like that. Or let's say Solo interferes on Roman's behalf. So maybe, you know, after Payback, they're going to roll into Saudi. So maybe we do a three-way match with Solo and the Usos. And then ultimately, I mean, I'm sure you guys have heard the reports and the rumblings too. I mean, it seems that everyone wants the payoff of a fatal four-way at SummerSlam. And it's very WrestleMania 2000-ish of a man in every corner. So it would be a member of the bloodline in every corner. So you'd have Jimmy, Jay, Solo, and Roman. If they really want to go back in time and really steal from matches from before, I mean, you can kind of actually have someone in every corner of the Usos. You know, you could have, obviously, the Wise Man is going to be in Roman's corner. Rikishi could come back. Maybe he has to choose which child he's going to help with. And who knows who else? Maybe The Rock comes back. Maybe The Rock gets in Jay's corner. Maybe Keish goes in Jimmy's corner. And someone else goes in Solo's corner. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of different things you can do. There's so many facets. And just when you think we have all the answers, you know, there's just so many other avenues that you can go with and go down. That's what makes the Bloodline just such a great watch, because it always keeps you thinking. Someone, somewhere in Connecticut, probably with the first name Paul or Nick, has the blueprint for this. And they know how it's going to end. I can tell you right now, WWE has the plan of how this is going to end. We have no idea. Eventually, at the end of the day, whatever, we have 8 months, right? I mean, it's already, we're going to be in September. We already have to start talking Rumble, start talking WrestleMania season. You have to look at this. I mean, if we have the fatal four-way, and let's say someone, you know, Roman wins. And this is to assume that it's not even going to be for the Universal title. I mean, this might be the perfect way to have Roman not defending the title for a long period of time. And you still have the mid-cards. You have Seth. You know, you have things going on. Let's say we go all the way to the Survivor Series. We have the match. Whoever comes out. I would assume it would be Roman. But let's say whoever wins that, we come back to SmackDown after Survivor Series. It's Roman that comes to the ring. That's it. Wants everyone out there. Calls everyone out to the ring. Calls Kumbaya. And everyone gets back together. We fought it out. We've done this. I'm tired of this. Let's get back. Let's finish this. Let's have this run. Let's see what we can do. And just ride it till the brakes fall off. Because if you're looking at Mania right now, I mean, I'm a strong proponent of that Roman's going to drop that belt at WrestleMania 40. For some of you that out there that think he's going to break Bruno Sammartino's record, you're nuts. Nuts. That record is never going to be broken. Never again. But he gets to Mania, becomes he might be a little short of third all time, but even a fourth all time, I mean, no one's going to touch him for a while. So who do we look at for names? People who could come for him at Mania. This is to assume Roman stays heel. I don't think they would turn the faction face after Survivor Series. I'm sure they would keep them all heel, but just in some weird hateful. That's still the whole hateful family coming back together. And they're gonna boo Jimmy and Jay for going back. Jimmy for what he did, and Solo just gets heat anyway for being with Roman, so they just go back to being a little heel faction. Some names you can think of, I mean, obviously the one right now on the tip of everyone's tongue, if you're looking at title contenders down the road, none other than L.A. Knight. Yeah! They're putting the rocket to him at some point. Is it going to be a mid-card title to start? Yeah, I think so. Do they drag it on enough where maybe he just goes to the Rumble and wins the Rumble? And calls out Roman. Maybe. Maybe not. LA Knight also has another option. Seth Rollins. Maybe Seth drops the belt before the Rumble. Maybe Seth wins the Rumble. Maybe Seth is just built up so well now. Like, do the work now. And get him to where he has to be. In that position where he can go and take the titles off of Roman. Obviously the one that everyone wants, and it's the one that's everyone convinced about, that is the end of the story. The only way to finish the story is for one Cody Rhodes to beat Roman Reigns in the main event at WrestleMania. If I'm a betting man, Cody probably is the one that's going to dethrone him. It makes the most sense. You know, I talked about this, you know, Cody had the easy road. I know the pec injury threw a lot of wrenches into the machine, but he had the easy road. You come back at 30, you go right to the main event. You haven't been back a year. Not even wrestled a lot. And now you're in the main event. And if you watch the story he's doing now with the Lesnars and everything else, and it's just like he's telling the story. It's the hard time, Daddy. He's out there. He's working the hard times gimmick. He's going to pay his dues for 365 days, making his way back, fighting his way back. Is it going to be through the Rumble? Absolutely not. He is not going to win the Rumble again. But he's going to fight, scratch, and claw to get his hands on Roman Reigns. And he probably will. And he probably this time, he's going to come out the victor. And he's going to get the belt, finish the story. And that just puts Cody ahead of everyone else where they're not even going to see his headlights. I mean, his taillights. They're not going to see him. Because with his story, how he's connected with the fans coming back, doing this hard times gimmick storyline for a whole year to get all the way back to finally get his hands back on Roman Reigns and to become victorious. Yeah, that's a hell of a story. That's a hell of a way to finish the story. The outside chance obviously is if you're trying to just kind of put in defenses and maybe, you know, makes more sense. Maybe you have The Rock come back to the Rumble. Lay some groundwork at the end of the year. And again, I'm saying this is the outside chance. I'm not just throwing The Rock in every pay-per-view that every PLE that we talk about. I'm not trying to throw The Rock in, but yes, one of my favorite wrestlers, but I digress. Maybe you put some groundwork down for him and he comes back. And maybe he defeats Roman at the Rumble, right? Maybe he takes out everybody, all the guys, you know, maybe the Usos and Solo maybe acknowledge him as a tribal chief. They don't help Roman. Roman gets beat 1-2-3 at the Rumble. Hey, listen, Rock coming back at the Rumble to win a belt. It's happened before. We all thought it was going to, you know, you thought Punk Cena, let's go. Nope. No. Not today, Jack. Nope. Who's to say The Rock doesn't come back and beats Roman and then makes Roman babyface? Almost like a martyr. I mean, I don't know. I would imagine The Rock would come back as he'd have to come back as a face, but however they would want to work that entire angle. I mean, I don't know. But let's say The Rock wins at the Rumble. Maybe it's Cody and Dwayne at Mania 40. Maybe. Could be a thing. Maybe. Rock's no stranger to coming in for 3-4 months, riding into Mania, grabbing the belt and riding into Mania, the champion. And obviously, when he is, it's to put somebody over. You know, with The Rock, if The Rock is going to Mania with any kind of belt, you know he's not walking out of Mania with said belt. It's literally to tell a story, finish a story, if you will, and build somebody up and put the belt on them. But yeah, like there's a lot of different ways you look at it. I liken the bloodline to a Rubik's Cube. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of directions and roads and ways that you can get to the end. But at the end of the day, there's only one road, only one way for it to finish and for it to end. And unfortunately, right now, none of us have those answers. Myself, anybody listening. We don't have those answers, but I'll tell you right now, I'm strapped in. And if we're in the third inning and this coaster is just still going up the hill, I'm very, very excited. Very, very excited. For when we start going down that hill. All right, guys, take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. What's going on, guys? John Anthony back with you here on Chair Shot Sports. Before we get into our next segment, let me take this time to remind you, if you're not already following us on Twitter, please be sure to follow us at Chair Shot Sports. Your one spot for anything WWE, AEW, Impact, New Japan, and also anything else under the sun sports related. Awesome. So we've talked about SummerSlam. We've talked about Jey Uso leaving WWE. Very, very close second on the lips and minds of a lot of wrestling fans right now is one other name. If it's not Jey Uso, it's one CM Punk. I'm telling you, man, this guy, I feel like we need to have a segment every week for this guy. When I'm doing my itinerary and talking, figure out what we're going to talk about for the week, I need to leave a blank space and make sure I'm leaving room to talk about CM Punk. Every time I think things are just getting where they need to be, whatever he's doing in AEW, boom, name out there. There's controversy, you name it, his name's out there. And it's never good. I'll tell you right now, it's never good. It's always bad. It's always a negative light for AEW. I'm telling you, Tony Khan is really, I mean, this guy must really love him, some Phil Brooks, because I'm telling you, man, the headache, there's not enough aspirin in the world for a headache like this guy. This is wild. And again, I'm sure, you know, there's in every story, there's, you know, there's a truth, there's a lie, and there's the middle. So let's just get into it. So, you know, things have been going good with Punk. You know, he takes his loss to Ricky Stark. You know, going on his thing with FTR, doing some programs, comes out, you know, calls himself the real champion. MJF over here doesn't even give him the time of day or acknowledge anything that he's saying. Starting to work a program with Samoa Joe, right, for the real championship. Everything's going good. Everything's looking pretty good for Collision. Collision's ratings were okay. I still think Saturday is a horrible spot. I said this on our last episode. You know, stop pussyfooting around, you know, lining up with WWE programming. I think you take Dynamite, you put that on Raw, you take Collision, you put that on Friday, and just don't even bother with NXT. I mean, if NXT, listen, if you're not watching NXT, and I don't even care if you're an AEW fan, okay, because, you know, you have just as much programming on TV that WWE has, and you've got to be like I am, because I can tell you right now, when Wednesday comes and there's no more WWE, I'm like, man, what am I going to do? I don't sit here and say, F it, I'm just going to go not watch TV. I put on Dynamite because I'm a wrestling fan. Then Thursday comes. I'm like, man, no wrestling. Yes, there is. Go watch Impact. And this is what I said last week. A true wrestling fan. Again, I'm going on a rant. I'm going to get back to CM Punk. But if you really want to be a wrestling fan, and I know you guys, I will never watch WWE. Their product sucks. Like I said, every promotion has its pros and cons. But if you're an AEW fan, and you haven't watched NXT yet, give it a watch. And I know it's tough to just jump into a show and not know storylines and why is this guy fighting this guy? Why is he so upset that he's looking at him like that? And why does he want to kick his car in and stuff like that? But watch the wrestling that goes on Tuesday nights on USA. Check it out. Just check it out. What else are you going to do from 8 to 10 on a Tuesday? There's no AEW on. You know what I mean? Just check it out. And especially this upcoming week, they're doing they don't have pay-per-views every month. They have pay-per-views every other month, but the month in between, they have like a show pay-per-view. This one's Heat Wave, so it's all, you know, all your title matches, your big feuds, kind of climax here, and a lot of them are kind of a stepping stone to the big PLE that they're gonna have. And I'm out here like singing WWE's praises. I'm just letting you know that NXT has some amazing wrestling in it. These guys are literally competing. So that's the thing. Collision and Dynamite are a brand split. Call it what you want. It's a brand split. It was Tony Khan's attempt at a brand split and to get people away from CM Punk that didn't want to work with him. So they gave him pretty much his own show, which is wild to me. Wild to me. But anyway, I'm not over here singing their praises. You got nothing else to do on the days that you don't have your quote unquote your show on, your wrestling. Watch the other show. If you're going to critique it and call it out on social media, on Twitter, and on Facebook, at least watch it before you knock it. I mean, it's really good. I'm telling you. Like I said, those two shows are a brand split. They're working for AEW. The NXT guys are working to get up to Raw and SmackDown. Like, that's, you know, not for nothing. That's a pay raise. That's more eyes on you. That's chances at championships and more money and the whole nine. I'm telling you, it's a good go. It's a good go. And if you're a wrestling fan, if you're a fan of wrestling, regardless of what the letters are before you watch the show, I highly doubt you're not going to appreciate watching the wrestlers at NXT. regardless of storyline, just watching the in-ring work and some of the mic skills, some of these guys on the stick are amazing. But I digress. Anyway, back to CM Punk. So he's talking about, you know, does this whole promotion, everything's going great. And then here we go. Punk grabs a stick, gets on the mic, and just starts rattling on and saying some very unpleasant and unfavorable things about one Adam Hangman Page. Literally going on, ranting on and on, calling Hangman a peg warmer. Because his toys, and brings up a shot of all his toys just sitting on the shelves in Walmart. Calls him a peg warmer because none of his stuff can sell. It's just weighing down the pegs at Walmart. That's just the tip of the iceberg. So then that happens. That makes the rounds. Dolph Ziggler's brother, and Nemeth Squared. This man gets sent home when collision time comes around. Time to go home. Gotta get out of here. What are you talking about? I was sent here to. No, we already got a flight for you. You gotta go. You gotta get out of here. We don't need you tonight. We'll catch you. We'll catch you next time. What are you talking about? And then come to find out when you start doing some digging that obviously when Punk dropped his comeback promo with the counterfeit bucks and all that stuff, Nemeth went on Twitter to say the softest man alive. Or softest man in wrestling. I'm not sure. I don't want to quote it because I'm not sure which one it was. And then he's kicked out. All right. Maybe it's all a coincidence. Okay. Here comes Hangman. Hey, we got to cut some vignettes. We got to do some stuff for you. We're going to film it. You know, go from here. We'll do it in Dynamite. You know, we'll use it. We'll continue it over to Dynamite. Nope. No. Adam gets to the building. Hey, so we're not going to be using you tonight or doing the vignettes here. We're going to actually get you out of here, send you home. And we'll catch up with you on Wednesday night. We'll do the vignettes there. What? You just flew me all the way here to fly me back home? Yeah, not tonight, man. Not tonight. Sorry, there's nothing I can do. Now, since then, AEW has come out. They said, oh, well, it's just some things that we had to change and, you know, all this other stuff. And there was no room for it in the... Listen, when you're booking flights for people and paying money for this, again, for a company that's millions of dollars like Tony Khan, I get it. It's dropping the bucket for a flight. But when you're sending someone over there, clearly you have a plan of what you want to do and get scheduled and get taped to use on the next show in the next week. And it's not a coincidence that all these gents who are getting kicked out and sent away all have a beef with one CM Punk. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. We go to the next week. Oh, here come the reports. Now all of a sudden, Matt Hardy and Christopher Daniels. Christopher Daniels, by the way, head of talent relations, the Jim Ross of AEW. They're not allowed in. It's not even a matter that they got in the building. They were told to leave. I don't know what company you work for, but into real life, it's if HR walks in to my business and wants to talk to me, I don't meet them at the door and kick them out. They're HR. Like, they're kind of in charge of some shit. You got to let them in. They're there to talk to you about some important stuff or just to be there. That's their job. That's their right to be there. And these guys just get sent home. They don't even get into the building. Says, hey, get out of here. And come to find out, do some digging. What happens? Christopher Daniels and Matt Hardy have prior beef with CM Punk. So, I mean, it's at this point, there's really only, I mean, I think I talked about it, about Punk making a heel turn. That's really the only way he can, I mean, you saw that was going to happen for him, like, to be the bad guy. There's one of two things you're doing right now. It can only be one of two things. Either this is a total work. We're all getting played. I mean, hard. I mean, a lot of dirt sheets, a lot of high-ranking wrestling reporters just getting worked over. That this is all a work. Everyone's in on it. Paige is in on it. All these guys, like, you know, everyone's in on it. This is just a massive work. Punk's not on the whole thing. Like, you know, everybody. And Tony's like, yeah, Sally, yeah, let's get eyes on Collision. Let's get eyes on the product. Let's get people talking about it. You know, bad guy Punk, treating everybody like, you know, POSs. Yeah, let's do that. That's some serious like Attitude Era Vince stuff. I give TK a lot of credit. If that's the case, then that is amazing. Amazing work. Then there's the flip side. Is Punk gone Hulk Hogan? Has Punk really gotten in his head where he thinks he can dictate a show for a company where he's so in, all in with AEW that he can just say and do whatever the hell he wants. And it's one phone call, one text message, one tweet, one whatever over to Tony Khan, and Tony Khan just bows down at his every beck and call and does whatever he wants. I mean, he's out here spraying a big gold belt with an X across it with black spray paint. That reminds you of something from a little back in the day from another three letter promotion. Hogan was notorious in WWE and in WCW. If he didn't like you, you were buried. You were gone. You were asked to leave. You were released. You were gone. You didn't see a day in the spotlight if Hulk Hogan didn't like you. And we fast forward to 2013. And we're fast forward over to AEW Collision, and here we are. CM Punk ruling the roost on his own show, which people have come out and said that's his show. Before he came back, again, there's this side, there's that side, there's the truth. But there's so much building up. Either this is a massive, massive work, or this is literally CM Punk holding AEW hostage. With TK thinking he has that much star power and that much pull where he can demand and do whatever he wants. I don't know. It's a slippery slope. If he has given Tony Khan, if Tony Khan has given CM Punk this much pull and this much power, then I'm sorry, you can give me Wembley. You can give me any of your pay-per-views. You can give me your Grand Slam at Met Stadium, do your buy rates, make your money. But if that's the case, you're giving a sole wrestler that much power, legit power. I'm not talking shoot power, kayfabe, any of this stuff, any works, straight up that much power and that much trust to help you build your company. I got another three-lettered organization for you in the 90s that tried this too, and they put their eggs in the wrong basket as well. And, well, needless to say, they're not around anymore. So definitely keep our eyes and ears open on that situation. See what happens in the weeks to come. We're going to take a quick break after this. Welcome back. Talk a little bit about Bray Wyatt. Hey guys, what's going on? John Anthony back with you, Chair Shot Sports. If you haven't already, please follow us on Twitter at Chair Shot Sports, one stop shop for all your wrestling and sports needs. So, we talked about SummerSlam, we talked about Jey Uso, talked about CM Punk. There is another man who a lot of people have been talking about. On and off for a long time, actually, for quite a few months. And that man is one Bray Wyatt. Bray has been rumored week after week after week to have been coming back from this, now that we find out, very life-threatening injury to himself. And we talked about it last episode when we were talking about my SummerSlam predictions. And I thought for sure, you know, Bray Wyatt was going to come out and come after Cody. doing some more thinking about what I talked about, it actually makes perfect sense for Bray Wyatt and Cody Rhodes to feud when he comes back. It's actually too perfect if you think about it. And if there's a writer somewhere in Connecticut that hasn't thought of this, I'm shocked. And I'm, you know, I'm disappointed. Because it literally, everything's linear. And all you have to do is make their paths cross. Let me explain. So pretty much, let's start with Bray. Right? Bray was the guy who, you know, was in creative. I'm sorry, had his own creative. Started after he got out of the Husky Harris thing and all this other stuff. He was like, you know what, fine, you know what, let me be me. Let me do this Bray Wyatt gimmick and the buzzards and, you know, the Wyatt family, the whole nine, bringing people in, you know, Daniel Bryan, everything. Very creative, very hot, awesome, awesome stuff. Braun Strowman, great, great stuff. I think a lot of the wrestlers out of the pandemic era, out of the Thunderdome era, I think Bray benefited the most as far as match-wise. The cinematic match was one of awe whenever they did it, anytime during the Thunderdome era. I mean, the Undertaker's match, and then you had the Firefly Funhouse. You had the Swamp match. That was amazing. Maybe not the best, the best way of getting it done, you know, treading through water and all this other stuff, but just the creativity that was shown through that you couldn't do in a ring, that you were able to take that out and do somewhere else, I think was, I mean, I think Bray Wyatt was definitely one of the benefactors of the cinematic match. So let's go back. So creatively wise, just wanted to do everything and just be the guy and just do it his way, right? Well, he didn't, unfortunately. The Fiend, you know, the Fiend character, you know, in VKM's eyes, got too big for his britches. Didn't like, you know, Bray didn't like where he was going with it. Vince didn't like what he was doing. Vice versa. You know what? Future endeavor. Get out of here. Probably one of the worst releases in a long, long time from World Wrestling Entertainment, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. Definitely one of the very ill-willed releases. So fast forward, Bray makes a comeback, finally, is doing the Uncle Howdy stuff, you know, trying to get into feuds with LA Knight, does the Pitch Black match, just trying to do everything he can to just do it the way he wants to do it creatively and get to the top and just get to Mania and be that guy and just go for a belt. I mean, as the Fiend, and Bray Wyatt slash Fiend, he tasted, you know, Universal Championship gold. So he's been he is a champion. Albeit his only one. He hasn't held any other belts. But so again, LA Knight and then the Uncle Howdy thing, and then boom, he disappears again, comes out to challenge against Brock and Lashley, and then all that falls through, and boom, Bray's gone again. And then the rumors come out. He left creatively. He didn't like where it was going, yada, yada, yada. Come to find out, this man was dealing with a life-threatening injury. You know, I think the one thing that a lot of us forget sometimes is these are human beings that are acting as these larger-than-life characters on television 3 days a week for us, for our entertainment. And I don't want to say 3 days a week. That's unfair, and that's actually pretty insulting to the folks that work over at AEW and even on Impact. So you think 6 days, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, if you count Collision, I count Collision too. 6 days a week, you got wrestling. These guys are going out there, putting their bodies on the line. And yes, I know, we all know it's fake. We get it. But the amount of physicality and just stamina and just athleticism that they have to have to get through their matches and tell the story that they want to tell in that ring, I think just goes unnoticed sometimes by a lot of people. We get so caught up and not for nothing, that's a credit to the wrestler and the performer. We get so caught up in their character and we forget that it's a actual human being, that they're just at work. When we change the channel, and the lights go out, they punch out and they go home. They're dads, husbands, fathers, you know, boyfriends, sisters, brothers. They're people just like us that live an everyday life. They just happen to get to live it in front of 35, 40,000 people, you know, a night, and millions of people watching them at home, and get paid a lot of money to do it. But yeah, they're still human. And I think sometimes that's missed on us sometimes, which sucks. But so he goes out. So Bray's been gone. Here comes Cody. The prodigal son returns. Goes away after not liking his creative, asking for his release. So already look at the dichotomy of everything. So if you look at how everything kind of, I want to keep it parallel because I want you to keep notes and just follow me on this, because I'm telling you this, it makes, when we get to the end, you're gonna be like, wow, it does make a lot of sense. That actually really is a phenomenal feud, because there's so many angles to it. And if we're in the story tearing, if it was Attitude Era, Ruthless Aggression, the PG era, I feel like right now we're in the storytelling era. That's where we're at right now with Paul Levesque. It's the storytelling era right now. So Bray and Vince don't see eye to eye. He gets released. Cody doesn't like what Stardust is. Doesn't like that he's just Stardust. There's no foreseeable fix to it. You know, Dusty unfortunately passed away. Gave it a little bit of time, and now it's okay. You know what? Let me go back to be Cody Rhodes again. No, we don't have anything for you. Sorry. And we're just going to keep you in Stardust. And then he asks and gets released. So he's granted his asked released. So he left voluntarily. Bray was fired. Okay, let's keep going. Bray's gone. We don't hear from him. Nothing. We see some pictures. He's working out, doing some things, right? All that good stuff. What's Cody doing? Cody leaves, gets with a couple of his best friends. They go and throw an indie show together, All In Vegas. I'm sorry, Chicago. It's one of the most successful indie shows ever. And then on top of that, what happens? This guy named Tony Khan comes around. He's kind of interested in talking to the three about maybe having an upstart company. And boom, All Elite Wrestling. So now Bray Wyatt's fired, kicked to the curb. We don't like your ideas. Get out of here. And the guy's just out of sight, out of mind. Cody asks for his release, goes, now starts another wrestling promotion, a successful wrestling promotion that could actually stand toe-to-toe with WWE. So we keep going. Time goes on. Bray's doing what he's doing. Cody's doing what he's doing. Time comes. The rumors of Bray coming back every single month, every single year. Just talking about it over and over and over again. Nothing. Cody. Working without a contract. Cody and Brandy leaving AEW. Uh-oh. Seth has a mystery pony at WrestleMania. All of a sudden, the lights go out. Wrestling has more than one royal family. And who comes up through the stage? Cody Rhodes. The prodigal son comes back. Now he's returned. So he's come back to triumphant. Everybody's so happy. The crowd's loving it. He gets to, everything's his. He's the American Nightmare. He's got the music. He's notable all around. Even AEW people tuned in. What? Is it really Cody Rhodes? Are you serious? Yeah, look at the viewership once he came out. It jumped up through the roof once people found out Cody was on WWE TV after leaving AEW. It's crazy. Comes back. Obviously has his has his go-betweens with Seth Rollins. They meet again at WrestleMania Backlash, which I was there for in Providence, Rhode Island. Amazing show, by the way. That's where Rhea was debuted as one of the next members of the Judgment Day. Unfortunately, Cody suffers the pec tear. He goes away. Right. So he goes away. Bray comes back. Bray's back. Bray's coming back now. Here we go. Bray's going to make his return. Let's go. you know, all new look. Everyone's so happy. Everyone's great. Cody's making his return too. Cody comes back at the Rumble. Cody enters the number 30, wins the whole match. Now he has a ticket punch for WrestleMania. And what's Bray Wyatt doing? Over here fighting with LA Knight and having a Mountain Dew pitch black match. What? What are we doing here? It's after that, Bray again is obviously hurt. Whatever's going on, he has to leave. Cody's not leaving. Cody's going to WrestleMania. Cody's back 1 year, and now he's in the main event of WrestleMania. So look at the parallel-wise. Bray is just doing everything he can, trying to do it his way, and just trying to figure out how to get there. And every time you think he's about to turn a corner, boom, kicked right down. Nope, nothing. And here's Cody. He left, very successful, came back, still successful. Yes, he went out with an injury, came back, wins the Rumble, is going to get a WrestleMania title shot in the main event of WrestleMania. So let's look aside from that. Let's look at the contrast of the both gents. You have Cody, you have Bray Wyatt over here, rugged, kind of a scary looking, I wouldn't say ugly, but, you know, a rugged kind of guy, scary looking, rough demeanor. You have Cody Rhodes over here, you know, looking like God's gift, almost looking like a Ken doll or something you find out of a package at a kid's store. Perfect, chiseled, coming in three-piece suits, coming to the ring. Bray Wyatt's coming with sweaters and boots. And this isn't a knock on anybody. Trust me. I love Bray Wyatt. Meeting Bray Wyatt was probably one of my top three wrestler meet and greets ever. Amazing guy. So humble. He was great to talk to. We couldn't talk long. The line was super long. But yeah, it was an amazing time to meet him. Got my picture taken. The whole nine. Got a signature. But he was top three. One of the best dudes to meet. Great guy. But then like, so we got that, right? So, okay, so now we're on parallels. So but that's in the present, though, right? Let's go back a little bit. And some of you might not remember when they used to have they had the coach, the wrestler, and the rookie. Or was it rookie mentor, whatever you want to call it, in NXT. Does anyone remember who Bray Wyatt's coach was? Husky Harris, if you will. It was Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes was Husky Harris / Bray Wyatt's coach in NXT. So clearly, whatever coaching Cody needed to do, he didn't get done. He kept a lot of it to himself. Because Cody's up here on the upper echelon, and albeit, you know, the life-threatening injury for Bray, Bray's nowhere even near the top of the card. And then he gets even farther back than that. Cody walks around a lot, talking about the American dream, baby. Talking about Dusty Rhodes. Talking about the hard times. Talking about having to just fill the shoes of Dusty. The shadow that sat over him for so long when he was Stardust and just wanting to finish the story and win the title his father didn't. If we're talking about family names, I'm trying to think. There's I think Bray Wyatt, I think he's related. Oh, yeah. Mike Rotunda. Him and Barry Windham out in the Indies back in the day were out there just working their tails off, doing everything they had to do. And who was up there sitting pretty? Who was the one living the life? Putting Crystal in the backseat of that caddy, Jack. Dusty Rhodes, I apologize. So now you got Mike Rotunda still holding up a Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes, Cody's dad. So the more it all changes, it's all stayed the same. These guys have been on parallel tracks next to each other all this time. And Cody's up here trying to finish a story, trying to get where he has to get to Roman and get that main event. But Bray needs to come back, and he needs to make right what once has been made wrong on more than one occasion. It writes itself. I'm telling you, if you just follow along, you see this, that these guys have had the same but different paths. And now there's an opportunity to have them both in the same place, the same time, and just use all of this as what's a great, great story and an amazing feud. All right, guys, gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're gonna wrap things up. Hey guys, welcome back. John Anthony, Chair Shot Sports. Thank you so much for listening and hanging out with us today. Like I said, we're trying our best to get this out and produced weekly. We were on a long hiatus. Life happened, kids, work, all that good stuff. With the NFL season coming up, we're definitely doing everything we can to get this out. And I can definitely promise you, by the first week of September, you'll be hearing from us weekly. Gonna be doing our pick'ems every week prior to the Sunday gauntlet of NFL games. Also this year, we're gonna add our football parlay. Trying to put a little bit of money in your pockets with the holidays upcoming. I can't believe that it's already gonna be September. Man, only 3 more months. We're already be into Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's wild. So we wrapped up SummerSlam. We talked about Jey Uso. Most hated man right now in AEW, CM Punk, and the Bray Wyatt and the Cody Rhodes collision course that hopefully does and should happen. Next week, we're looking at covering a couple of things. That's obviously the final week of preseason football, and we're also looking into the first week of college football. So we'll be covering a little bit of both of those. For as far as NFL, we're going to be going over each divisional winner and giving you our Super Bowl pick for the upcoming season. Back into the wrestling realm, we'll be going over the Judgment Day as they make their climb up to be one of the most dominant factions in the history of WWE. Next week, we also have All In. We'll have our All In predictions and talking a little bit about that and those matches, where they hit and or missed. And also, among a couple other things, we'll hit on the Miz and the LA Knight rivalry that seems to be taking ahead this upcoming night on Friday night on SmackDown. So that should definitely be an interesting encounter, and hopefully see where that goes, building toward Payback, and also talking about other matches that are looking like they're going toward going to be on the Payback card. So, yeah, again, I'd like to thank all you guys for listening, giving us a shout. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to any of your podcasts. And if you're not already, please listen to us. Please follow us on Twitter. It's at ChairShotSports. So again, for ChairShotSports, I'm John Anthony. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you guys soon. Toodles.